It is October 10th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Welcome to Columbus Day in the U.S., the day that in 1979 made the 30-year Treasury bond contract at the Chicago Board of Trade the most traded contract of the century, following the Volcker statement on the preceding Saturday following an unscheduled FOMC meeting held earlier that day. It was also the day that the world found out that Revco had no clothes, or rather, the day the world found out Revco was playing a shell game with $430 million of its capital and was the beginning of the end for the heavily fined futures broker. Following the Volcker statement, where he said the Fed was going to let interest rates float, the banks were closed and there was no place other than the CBOT to express your opinion about the direction of interest rates. From that day forward, volume on the 30-year bond contract would grow exponentially and make it the most traded futures contract in the 20th century. Needless to say, don't go into Columbus Day short vol. Just saying. Bloomberg reports that London's most expensive mansion is on sale again for the low, low price of... It was last sold in April of 2020 for £210 million. This is the day in 1973 when former Vice President Spiro Agnew, former FIA President John Damgaard was once an aide, resigned as Vice President. John Stark, the former SEC chief of the Office of Internet Enforcement, wrote a powerful takedown of Web3 on LinkedIn and comments on a piece by FT's Jemima Kelly in which he's quoted, "It's worth reading to understand the mind of a regulator about Web3 and the risks it presents, which are many, and the punishments that should be doled out to mitigate these risks. There is a Supreme Court case being decided about the quality of a pig's life and the ability of the state of California to influence the treatment of pigs in other states. Pigs are being grown in pens called gestation crates that are so small the pigs can't even turn around. One story I read equated a pig's life to living seated in an airplane seat. The FBI is recruiting special agents. This is what they say. We are looking for special agent applicants who come from a broad range of backgrounds, expertise, and professional experiences. Our mission-critical work requires unique skill sets and perspectives to conduct criminal and national security investigations. Special agents bring their skills, compassion, and integrity to stay ahead of threats, uphold the law, defend civil rights, and protect innocent people. They seek out cybercrime, infiltrate organized crime rings, and investigate terrorists. A day for an FBI special agent might entail surveilling a subject in the morning, tracking terrorists' online social activity before lunch, testifying in court in the afternoon, and addressing a public forum on identity theft in the evening. For more information, you can click on a link in today's newsletter. My mother, Marjorie J. Lothian, celebrated her 92nd birthday over the weekend. It is quite an accomplishment to persevere for so many years, but she has. Happy birthday, Mom. The 17th Global Roundtable of United Nations Environmental Finance Initiative, UNEP-FI, Transforming Finance, Accelerating Change, begins today, October 10th, and continues through October 14th. This online event brings together decision makers, experts, and thought leaders to help shape approaches to integrating sustainability across the banking, insurance, and investment industries. In 2020, the event drew attendance of 4,500 finance officials. You can sign up to view the agenda and recordings with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our Markets Wiki Education short of the day is Peter Fredrickson, Stockholm, the origin and global leader in transaction technology. Peter Fredrickson, chairman of the board of Bay Markets, says OM, the company that eventually became NASDAQ, OMX, basically invented transaction technology. In his view, Stockholm and more broadly Sweden have been pioneers in automating the financial markets and making them more efficient. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Post. Stressed Wall Street execs flock to ketamine therapy sessions. Therapy's a trip for Wall Street executives. Wealthy stock traders are flocking to a Manhattan-based ketamine therapy practice that doles out the hallucinogenic drug in a lavish setting to treat depression, stress, and burnout syndrome, according to the psychiatrist who runs it. The Jeff Dizzle Psychiatry Center in the Financial District legally doses patients with the drug, best known as a psychedelic party favor, via IV drip for $750 a pop. Dizzle told the Post Wednesday. My comment, what happened to just going for a 3-martini lunch? Here's a story from the New York Times. The purpose of extra-large marshmallows. A UK court weighs in. A British tribunal considered how a slightly larger marshmallow might be taxed by evaluating its taste, size, and packaging. A court in Britain looked at a package of 27 marshmallows this summer and considered the future of the soft, sweet treats. Were these marshmallows destined to be eaten straight from the bag or turned into s'mores? The question may seem straightforward, but a tax tribunal presented with the sweets evaluated them in granular detail to determine if a food product called Mega Marshmallows would be subject to the same standard retail sales tax as regular marshmallows, which are about an inch shorter and about a half inch thinner. My comment, Mega Marshmallows are for one thing, s'mores. Go from there, tax man. Here's a story from Tasting Table. 10 Ways Climate Change is Threatening the World's Wine Industry. 2011 to 2020 was the warmest decade on record for planet Earth, according to the United Nations. The global wine industry, which is largely the product of the growing environment of each vineyard within unique production regions, is reporting that changes in the climate are impacting traditional methods and expectations. This goes beyond rising temperatures. Because the Earth is a system where everything is connected, changes in one area can influence changes in all others, via United Nations. My comment, here is a real problem. Forget the marshmallows. Here's a story from TechCrunch. Demanding employees turn on their webcams is a human rights violation, Dutch court rules. When Florida-based Chetu hired a telemarketer in the Netherlands, the company demanded the employee turn on his webcam. The employee wasn't happy with being monitored for 9 hours per day in a program that included screen sharing and streaming his webcam. When he refused, he was fired, according to public court documents in Dutch, for what the company stated was refusal to work and insubordination. The Dutch court didn't agree, however, and ruled that instructions to keep the webcam turned on is in conflict with the respect for privacy of the workers. In its verdict, the court goes so far as to suggest that demanding webcam surveillance is a human rights violation. My comment, sure, I'll turn on my webcam. Here's a picture of my ceiling. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Saudi Arabia Wealth Fund commits $2.3 billion to football sponsorship. PIF enters into agreement with multiple clubs, mainly in domestic game. Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund has committed more than $2 billion to new long-term football sponsorship deals this year in a sign of the kingdom's growing ambitions in the world's most popular sport. The Public Investment Fund said in its most recent financial statement that it had entered into sponsorship agreements with multiple football clubs amounting to $8.75 billion SAR, that's $2.3 billion, in the first 8 months of 2022. Most of the money is for domestic football. My comment, FTX, I will see your sponsorship and raise you $2.3 billion. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Bloomberg's a $568 million hack of Binance Coin Royals crypto sector anew. Second was the Financial Times Binance blockchain suffers $570 million hack. That number is an approximation. Third was the homepage for CBOE Digital. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from the Financial Times, the headline, Crash Protection Mode helps manage futures ETFs crush rivals. The largest fund, DBMF, has delivered returns in excess of 30% this year. With equities, bonds, and real estate all underwater this year, most exchange-traded fund investors are nursing sharp losses. One small corner of the ETF world has delivered decent returns, though, despite or maybe because of the red ink elsewhere. Managed futures funds take both long and short positions in futures contracts linked to equities, bonds, and commodities and currencies, potentially allowing them to make money even when markets fall, as long as there is a clear trend for them to follow. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Former crypto employees find a home in traditional finance. Engineers and software developers who understand digital assets are sought after in more traditional financial sectors. The cooling crypto market has had a domino effect for people who work in the sector. In the wake of plummeting digital currency prices, a flurry of crypto firms have reduced their headcount. Coinbase Global Inc. announced an 18% reduction of its workforce. BlockFi Inc. cut their staff by 20% and Crypto.com by 5%. So what happens to employees in decentralized finance or DeFi who are laid off? And then finally, another story from Bloomberg. The headline, the gold market's great migration sends bullion rushing east. There's a global migration underway in the gold market as Western investors dump bullion while Asian buyers take advantage of a tumbling price to snap up cheap jewelry and bars. Rising rates that make gold less attractive as an investment mean that large volumes of metal are being drawn out of vaults in financial centers like New York and heading east to meet demand in Shanghai's gold market or Istanbul's Grand Bazaar. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.